far should Australia go taking unilateral action to deal with multinational corporate tax avoidance that was highlighted, for instance, in the recent massive Panama Papers leak? Now, that's one of the issues expected to be canvassed in the second interim report of the Senate inquiry into corporate tax avoidance, released today in Canberra. The release of the report comes on the same day that the committee will convene in Sydney to hear new evidence on multinational corruption from whistleblower Stephen Sass. Now, Sass is a former senior executive at Leighton Holdings. He had his employment terminated back in 2011 after seeking whistleblower protection status over corruption and kickback payments involving Leighton's that he had documented in Indonesia. Sam Dastyari is a Labor Senator for New South Wales and a member and former chair of the Senate Inquiry, and he joins us in our Sydney studio. Good morning, Senator Dastyari.
Great to be here.
Look, if we could go to that corruption issue, there are a fair few things to cover. Your committee was set up to look at corporate tax avoidance, so why would it also look into alleged corruption and kickbacks involving Australian companies operating overseas?
Well, there's actually two separate inquiries that are incredibly now linked. The issue about how foreign corruption works, how bribes work, how money is transferred internationally is now linked and has become increasingly linked to tax avoidance and tax minimisation. They're two separate issues with two separate inquiries, but the overlay between them is sensational. You look at companies like Mossack Fonseca, they have not only been facilitating tax minimisation, they've been facilitating a culture of bribes. And frankly, Australia has done an appalling job at properly cracking down on foreign corruption. We are a soft touch internationally.
Well, except that Mr. Jordan, the tax commissioner, was saying that actually we'd been out the front in taking, yesterday I heard him giving evidence, we'd been out the front in trying to push this internationally.
Okay, let's split the two separate
issues. So that's
another issue. Let's split the two separate issues aside. You're right. When you're looking at what we've done on taxation and tax minimisation, Australia has been part of a group of countries that has been taking multilateral action. And Chris Jordan and this government and the last government have been working through international kind of arrangements. What the committee said in its interim report, and there'll be another interim report coming out today, is that there is an opportunity to also be taking stronger unilateral action. Nobody disagrees that you have to work within the world structure and work with the OECD and this and that. But if you're waiting for the world to agree on tax rules, you're kidding yourself. You also have to take stronger, more decisive unilateral action. And Jolene, there are things we can do right now to improve the tax
system. You mean like the US government's Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which they've had since 1977 now? Is that the sort of thing you'd like to see?
Well, look, on the corruption front, going down the path of a US Foreign Corrupt Practices Act or the British government's Anti-Bribery Act,
yes,
is going to be incredibly important to be able to crack down on foreign corruption, and there is a tax element to that. But just on the tax itself here, I mean, you know, there are things we can do right now. Better transparency, issues about debt loading, transfer pricing, booking Australian activity, taking unilateral action against tax havens from Australia. There are things we can do right now if there is a will. And these aren't all easy things to do, but they're important things to do. And the anger out there, the frustration, people are sick and tired of a situation where we got evidence yesterday that the 76 largest multinational tax companies pay an effective tax rate of 16%, where your average nurse or teacher pays 24%. How is that fair? How is it fair that you have a system that is so rigged against us, when a handful of corporations are able to fleece the show?
So with this tax avoidance issue, now, you don't believe, don't you, that there's any risk of affecting foreign capital coming into this country? Like, I think two-thirds of our financing is actually foreign capital coming in. We're remarkably exposed. You're not worried about that?
No, look, I think that's a rubbish argument. And it's a rubbish argument because we tax profit. These companies come to Australia while it's profitable to come to Australia. I completely reject the notion that somehow they're not profitable if they have to pay tax on their profits. It's a nonsensical argument. Now, you know, these aren't easy things to do. Unilateral action, and give you a few examples of things that can be done. Hmm. Unilateral action on how companies are allowed to load themselves up with debt, for instance, or transfer pricing, or about booking Australian activity that happens in Australia. They're not easy things necessarily to do, but they're important things to do and they will change it. I want to give you one example of what the tax commissioner told us yesterday about the behaviour of Uber. You know, everybody knows Uber. They're the kind of rival to the taxi industry. The tax office has been trying to get a list of who Uber drivers are to make sure they're paying tax. Uber itself turns around and says, these documents don't exist in Australia. They're only held by a Netherlands company, which is a completely separate company, apparently. It has nothing to do with Uber Australia, and there's no way we can get you these documents. They have to go through the process of subpoenaing Australian banks to get documents on the drivers that are actually driving to find out who's getting paid what, because all these transactions happen offshore and allegedly have nothing to do with the Australian subsidiary company. You see this across the board, and we have to start holding Australian subsidiaries, Australian companies, more responsible for the behaviour of their international partners.
Yeah, now this thin capitalisation, because Cheryl Bagwell did a very interesting report, and I think a lot of us have understood it for the first time. It's complicated, but it is the business of places like Google, for instance, Apple. They actually book debt first before profits, more than in, and you're saying that we could come in on that legally, could we?
Well, what we should be able to do is stopping them being able to get artificial debt structures. And the Labor Party's got a policy proposal in this space saying, look, it should be your international average. It shouldn't be just what you decide your debt thing is. On a very, very simple level, the idea is this. Everyone talks about how complicated what this is. In one way, it's really simple. The basis of it's just this. Make your company appear less profitable in Australia and more profitable in a tax haven. That's all it really comes down to. And one of the key ways of doing it is you load your company with fake debt. So all of a sudden, the Australian operation is taking loans out from an international partner from, say, you know, in the case of Chevron, from Bermuda. The Bermuda company, and all of a sudden, they owe their Bermuda or Delaware or wherever it happens to be this year. They owe them a whole bunch of several billion dollars. And all of a sudden, the Australian company isn't profitable anymore because they have to pay these exorbitant interest rates. It's all, the allegations here is that a lot of this is fake creation of debt simply to lower your tax obligations. And you have to stop this. It has to come to an end. And frankly, the anger out there, the frustration, I think people have really had enough.
I want to play you something from Chris Jordan, because the ATO, the Australian Crime Commission, the Federal Police, ASIC and AUSTRAC have all been coordinating a whole-of-government response to the most serious matters raised against 800 Australians in the Panama Papers leaks. This is what the Commissioner, Chris Jordan, said before the inquiry yesterday. He says the ATO is taking action. Let's have a listen.
I will not simply stand by and admire this problem. It is important that the community perceptions of fairness in the system do remain strong, and the Australian public can be certain that we are bringing those who seek to evade their tax obligations to account. We are getting on with the job, but it will take time.
So that's the Tax Commissioner, Chris Jordan. So you specifically calling on him to do more?
Look, I think what we need to do as a parliament, I'm actually calling on the government to do more. The Tax Commissioner does a lot of what he can with the powers that he has and with the resources that he has. I think more resources from the ATO, and that is Labor Party policy. But also what he said yesterday about the judicial system, about the fact that it takes 10 years for court cases to be run to get some of the outcomes that need to be gotten, the difficulty in obtaining documents, I think there has to be some reform in this space, and we should certainly be looking at that. And that's what the committee will be looking at, and we'll have another report out today. That's certainly where the committee's focus and deliberations should be heading towards. But the idea that simply it's good enough with the current system, I don't believe is supported out there in the public, and I don't believe anybody really believes that. That being said, Chris Jordan, I think in the past few years, has done an amazing job.
Just as a matter of interest, before we move on to the banks, are you getting any... What's the conversation you're receiving from business people about this? Like, I mean, you're obviously very worked up and getting more so. I can tell as you hear some of these, frankly, rorts.
I'm getting angrier and angrier. Let's be honest here. My Christmas card list keeps dwindling from year to year, and that's something that's the price you pay for this business. But honestly, and just on one note, if you're not in this business and if not in politics to stand up for people who have been ripped off, who've been conned and who've been cheated, then why go into politics in the first place? You know, you toughen up and you fight the fights and you fight for what you believe, because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And if you want a cushy life sucking up to big business and corporate Australia, then that's a matter for someone on the conservative side of politics, and I wish them the best, but that's certainly not me.
Well, of course, that's exactly what Ian Narev would say he's doing. Final question to you. On the front page of the Fin Review today, Ian Narev, the head of the Commonwealth, is really saying, I think, I've had enough. He says, politicians should stop using banking culture as a political football. As an economy, the number one policy discussion we need to be having is where the next wave of jobs will come from. Don't underestimate Australians. They're up for a sophisticated and informed debate.
This shows how out of touch with reality Ian Narev is. This is a man who's completely out of touch if he's making those types of comments. And he also goes on to talk about undeserving customers and people who've claimed things. You hear the victims. You hear the stories of the victims. People who've been conned, who've been cheated, who've been taken advantage of. And you hear a CEO who gets paid something like $8 million last year talking about how a lot of these people are undeserving. The victims of the banking scandals deserve to have their stories told. They deserve to have their say. And look, there's no secret that the CEOs, the big four banks, aren't fans of me. I mean, Jordan, if I walked down the street today and got hit by a bus, the first suspects for the police to look at would be the CEOs of the big four banks. But frankly,
he's defending his business, though, and he's saying...
But what about the victims? What about the people who've been left behind? Only a Royal Commission is going to give them the justice they deserve.
All right. Sam Dastyari, thank you very much indeed. Sam Dastyari, happily leaving to walk down the street. And he will be presiding... Well, he'll be part of the interim report released today.